Getting Started with Leviticus by Ted Hildebrandt. Introduction to Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is Torah, a set of instructions designed to teach the priests and the people of Israel the ritual requirements for living in the presence of a holy God. The Hebrew title is taken from the first word of the Hebrew text, quote, "and he called," end quote, which tells little about the actual content of the book. The more common title of Leviticus comes from the translation of the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, called the Septuagint, or the LXX, about 200 BC, into the Latin Vulgate, about 420 AD, and eventually into English. The title should not, however, be understood as referring exclusively to the Israelite tribe of Levi. The term, quote, Levite, end quote, occurs only three times in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 32 to 33. However, priests, Kohen, who were direct descendants of Aaron, are referenced over 175 times in the 27 chapters of this book, despite its being the shortest book of the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Thus, the title, quote, Leviticus, end quote, refers to the, quote, Levitical priests, end quote. Compare Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 9 and 18. Although the book addresses the holiness of the whole people of God as well, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 2, and chapter 17, verse 2. For Israel itself was to be a, quote, kingdom of priests and a holy nation, end quote. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Leviticus moves away from the historical narrative approach that dominates Genesis and Exodus to a more instructional format, giving various rules, regulations, and requirements for maintaining holiness and cleanness and avoiding defilement, pollution, and uncleanness. It links into the greater narrative of the Pentateuch in its opening verse, where God speaks to Moses from the tent of meeting, or tabernacle, upon which the glory cloud of God's presence had just descended. Exodus chapter 40, compare Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1. While Leviticus has two brief narratives of its own, Leviticus chapter 10 and 24, it is mostly ritual instructions to priests and the covenant community as a whole. Leviticus records Moses as receiving these instructions orally from God during the year the Israelites were at Mount Sinai, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1 and 24, and chapter 7, verse 28. One can assume it was written down in a manner similar to what was explicitly commanded in Exodus, Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. Although no author is specifically identified as the writer. Leviticus also connects to Deuteronomy by giving instructions regarding festival days, Leviticus chapter 23, compare Deuteronomy chapter 16, and sabbatical years, Leviticus chapter 25, compare Deuteronomy chapter 15, and both conclude with the covenantal blessings and curses, Leviticus chapter 26, compare Deuteronomy chapter 27 through 28. Leviticus seems to discuss the general laws and elaborate on how they are to be implemented. For example, the apodictic command, quote, "you shall not blaspheme," end quote, that is given in principle in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, is followed in Leviticus with a concrete situation where the penalty is actually assessed and executed on a particular blasphemer, Leviticus chapter 24, verses 10 and following. Leviticus is composed of instructions to holy priests and to a holy people for how ritually to maintain themselves in the presence of a holy God. The central theme is recorded in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 through 45, and compare chapter 19, verse 2, quote, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy," end quote. Content of Leviticus. Leviticus divides into two sections. One, Leviticus 1 through 16, on ritual purity and the various responsibilities, duties, and requirements for the Levitical priests. And 2, Leviticus 17 through 27, on the requirements for the maintenance of the people of Israel as a holy people. Chapters 1 through 7 introduce 5 sacrificial offerings in 9 divine speeches. The first 3 sacrifices are those required for a worshiper to give thanks, praise, or worship to God. The 2 final sacrifices are expiatory, for atonement, and for the removal of sin. The people presented and slaughtered their offerings at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and the priest took the various parts, fat, and blood inside to the altar. Any extraneous parts were burned outside the camp. These sacrifices were a, quote, soothing aroma for the Lord, end quote. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 9, 13, and 17, and performed in and for his presence. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5 and 10. And now there's a chart of the 5 sacrifices titled Offering, What's Offered, The Priest's Role, The Presenter's Role, and The Purpose. So first of all, the burnt or the whole offering found in Leviticus chapter 1. What's offered? Male, unblemished bulls, sheep, goats, birds. The whole thing is burned up. The priest's role. Sprinkle blood on altar, arrange pieces on altar, wash in innards, burn all. The presenter's role. Present the animal at the tent. Lay hand on head, slaughter and cut up, present it to the priest. Purpose, morning and evening, aroma pleasing to the Lord, worship. The grain or cereal offering from Leviticus chapter 2. What's offered? Grain, fine flour, with no yeast, but with salt, olive oil, and incense. The priest's role. Burn a memorial portion on the altar. Eat the rest. The presenter's role. Present it to the priest. Purpose. First fruits to worship for provisions. Next offering. Fellowship or peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3. What's offered? Male or female unblemished cattle, sheep, goat, fat portions burned. Priest's role. Sprinkle the blood on the altar, burn the fat portions, eat the meat, no blood. Presenter's role. Present the animal at the tent, lay hand on head, slaughter and cut off fat portions, eat some. The purpose. Thanks offering, vow completion, free will offering, communal meal. Next offering is the sin offering, Leviticus chapter 4. This offering is expiatory. Priest has to bring a bull, a leader to bring a male goat. A commoner can bring a female goat or sheep. A poor person can bring a dove or pigeon. And if someone is very poor, they can offer up fine flour. The priest's role. Put the blood on the horns of the altar. Pour out the rest. Burn fat portions, eat the meat, no blood. The presenter's role. Present the animal at the tent, lay hand on head, slaughter, cut off fat, skin, and burn head, skin, and offal outside the camp. Confession. Purpose. For making atonement, for purification, for unintentional sin, cleansing. The final offering is the guilt or reparation offering from Leviticus chapter 5. It also, like the sin offering, is an expiatory offering. What's offered? A ram or lamb, fat portions burned. The priest's role, blood sprinkled on the altar, burn fat portions, eat the meat, no blood. The presenter's role, present animal at tent, slaughter the animal, cut off the fat. The purpose: atone for unintentional sins, make restitution plus 20% for cleansing. Sacrifices were ubiquitous in the ancient Near East, or the A&E, cultures from the earliest time periods, so these priestly rituals were not late insertions into the religion of Israel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 and following, chapter 8, verse 20, chapter 22, compare ancient Near Eastern ritual texts. In Israel, the blood and fat were two substances that were not to be eaten. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 22 to 27. The presenters laying hands on the head of the animal was a process by which the presenter identified with the animal. The animal died as a substitute for the presenter, dramatizing the substitutionary or vicarious nature of atonement, and that the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This whole sacrificial system foreshadows John the Baptist's announcement declaring Jesus as, quote, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, end quote. John chapter 1, verse 29. Leviticus chapters 8 through 10 is a narrative section where Moses, under God's direction, oversaw the ordination and installation of Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. Moses offered the sacrifices, sprinkled the blood, and anointed them with oil, while Aaron donned the Urim and Thummim and consecrated priestly garments. On the eighth day, Aaron and his sons began their ministry, presenting sacrifices to the Lord as the entire assembly was gathered to see the glory of the Lord appear. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 4 and 6, especially verse 24. The solemn ritual context was shattered when Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, offered an unholy fire before the Lord and were themselves consumed by divine fire. Aaron was told not to tear his clothes in grief. The tragic incident was followed with instructions on the necessity of distinguishing between the holy, common, clean, and unclean, as well as a stern warning against drinking wine in the tent of meeting area, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The priests were directed to be the teachers of Israel on these ritual matters. Leviticus chapters 11 through 16 continues this theme by presenting instructions on how to distinguish between what is holy, clean, and unclean, as summarized on this chart of the three purity states in the middle and four outer transitional processes, taken from Wenham in his book on Leviticus, page 19. The three purity states are the state of being holy, the state of being clean, and the state of being unclean. One moves from uncleanness up to clean by cleansing, usually with water. One moves from being clean up to holy by sanctifying something, usually with oil, olive oil. If something holy is profaned, it moves down in the direction of the clean and unclean. If something is clean and is polluted, it moves down to being unclean. Chapter 11 begins with kosher dietary laws for animals. Chew the cud, split the hoof, no pork. Aquatic animals, fins and scales, no lobster. Birds, no birds of prey. And insects, hoppers are allowed. These dietary laws were rescinded by Christ in Mark chapter 7, verse 19, and later in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 5 through 12. Chapter 12 follows up with purification rites after childbirth, and chapters 13 and 14 discuss handling infectious skin diseases that were formerly called, quote, leprosy, end quote, but are probably better understood as psoriasis. Chapter 15 discusses semen and menstrual discharges and how to handle those moving from uncleanness back to cleanness. The section concludes with the Day of Atonement elaborating on how to keep the sanctuary holy even when the high priest intrudes into the Holy of Holies with the atonement blood that was placed on the mercy seat on top of the ark. One goat was killed, and the other, the scapegoat, was sent out to Azazel, or the wilderness, signifying a ritual of the riddance of sin from the community, and the substitutionary nature of atonement for the entire community. Leviticus chapter 16. The final section of Leviticus, chapters 17 through 27, is what has come to be known as the Holiness Code, chapters 17 through 26, because of its emphasis on the holiness of the people of God. Chapter 17 deals with the centrality of the tent of meeting as the place of sacrifice and forbids the eating of blood. Sexual boundaries are set in chapter 18, where incest, homosexuality, and bestiality are forbidden. Warnings are given against following Egyptian or Canaanite practices that defiled the land. Echoes of the Ten Commandments are heard in the popery of apodictic, quote, thou shalt not, end quote, type of instructions given in chapter 19, to honor parents, to not lie or steal, and to not pervert justice. Holiness was to be based on the character of God. It is here that the golden rule of loving one's neighbor as oneself and the extending community love to foreigners is directed. Specific punishments for various sins are explicated in chapter 20. Chapters 21 and 22 return to the theme of the maintenance of priestly holiness in terms of setting the boundaries on who a priest was allowed to marry and what maladies, such as blindness, disqualified one from the priestly office. Leviticus chapter 23 lists 5 appointed feasts as holy days sacred to the community. There are 2 spring feasts when the wheat and barley are harvested, and 3 fall feasts when the olives, figs, and grapes are harvested. There's a chart below here under the 4 titles, feast, then the reference, the time of the feast, and then the purpose of the feast. Feast number 1 is Passover / Unleavened Bread. It's a pilgrimage feast. Reference, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 4 through 8, Exodus 12, and Deuteronomy 16. Time of the feast? In the spring, usually March through April, and it goes on for 7 days. The purpose of the feast? Deliverance from Egypt is remembered and celebrated. Second feast, the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as it later became known in Greek times. It is also a pilgrimage feast. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 to 21, Numbers 28, and Deuteronomy chapter 16 are the references. The time, it's 50 days after Passover, 7 sevens plus 1, so Pentecost means, Penta means 5, 50. It's usually done in May or June. The purpose, to end the spring wheat / barley harvest, the harvest of grains. The third feast, the Feast of Trumpets, also became known as Rosh Hashanah. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 25, and Numbers chapter 29 are the references. The time of the feast, it's in the fall, usually September, October. It's the first of the year. The purpose, sound the shofar, or the trumpet, welcome in the new year. The fourth feast is called the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. The reference is Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32, chapter 16, and Numbers chapter 29. Time, 10 days after trumpets, September/October. The purpose, 2 goats, blood is taken into the Holy of Holies, confession of sin. The final feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. It also is a pilgrimage feast. there are three pilgrimage feasts. The reference, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 33 through 43, Numbers chapter 29, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Time, 15 days after trumpets, so it's in September/October, and it goes on for 7 days. The purpose, live in huts, remember the wilderness wanderings. So those are the five feasts, three of which are pilgrimage feasts, where they pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. Finally, chapter 25 describes the sabbatical year in which the land was to have its rest by not being sown, and that in the year of Jubilee, which was every 50th year, 7 times 7 plus 1, liberty, was to be proclaimed, and everyone was to return to their ancestral property inheritance. It is significant that when Judah was sent into exile to Babylon in the last chapter of the Hebrew Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, it cites the fact that the land had not enjoyed its Sabbaths, was one reason Israel was sent to Babylon for 70 years to make up for that long-standing infraction. Leviticus chapter 26 concludes with the covenantal blessings and curses in a manner quite similar to those found in the closing of Deuteronomy chapters 27 through 28. Chapter 27 of Leviticus seems to be an addendum on dedicating things such as houses, fields, and animals to the Lord and on how those things are redeemed. Critical approaches. Critics today link the book of Leviticus back into the 19th century JEDP theory, with Leviticus representing the, quote, P, end quote, or, quote, priestly, end quote, document. Many have set the date for this alleged P document in post-exilic times around 500 BC, reflecting the reconstituted Jewish agrarian/pastoral community rule as a hierocracy, that is, priest-ruled, under the Persians in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. This conjectured setting is contrary to the explicit comments in the text, which repeatedly feature God verbally giving instructions to Moses at Sinai, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, and Leviticus 25, verse 1, describing the Urim as part of the priestly attire, Leviticus chapter 8, verse 8, as well as giving the repeated directions with regard to the tent of meeting, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 19, verse 21, do not well suit a post-exilic setting. While initially ritualized religion was seen as advanced and hence late, it is clear now from ancient Near Eastern ritual texts that priestly systems of sacrifices and feasts are very ancient, predating Moses. Compare Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and following, chapter 7, verse 2, and chapter 8, verses 20 and following. Furthermore, the recent find of a, quote, priestly, end quote, blessing text, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, that is dated to 700 BC, also calls for a reconsideration of these critical theories of the conjectured P source document. Key theological themes. Holiness. The major theme in Leviticus is the directive for the Israelites to, quote, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy, end quote. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, compare chapter 11, verse 45, chapter 20, verse 26. Yet it is the Lord himself who makes them holy. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 8, chapter 22, verse 9, and verse 23. Furthermore, the priests particularly were directed, quote, to distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, end quote. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. The root idea of holiness, kadosh, is to be separated for a special purpose. While Leviticus 19 follows up with a list of ethical injunctions prescribing what it means to be holy, do not steal, do not lie, The ritual instructions are also involved in sanctifying or making things holy. Places can be holy, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 20. An offering slash sacrifice can be holy, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 17, and chapter 27, verse 9. And people, such as priests, were to be holy, Leviticus chapter 21, verse 6, as was the whole nation, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. There were even holy times, holy days, such as the year of Jubilee, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 12. God's name was holy, and not to be profaned by idolatry, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3, or by showing disrespect to the sacred offerings, Leviticus chapter 22, verse 2. Indeed, everything that belonged to the Lord was to be considered holy, including the land, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28 and 30. Peter calls New Testament believers to model this God-based holiness through obedience to the ways of Christ, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Likewise, Paul draws deeply from the well of Leviticus imagery when he writes, quote, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish," end quote, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. All of life is sacred. One of the major implicit themes of Leviticus is that all of life is lived out in the presence of God. This is seen not only in the repetition of the refrain, quote, "I am the Lord your God," end quote, Leviticus 18:2, chapter 19, verses 3 through 4, and verse 10, chapter 20, verse 7. But in the huge number of times the phrase, quote, "before the Lord," end quote, occurs in all sections of this book, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 9, verse 2, chapter 14, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 7, chapter 19, verse 22, chapter 23, verse 11, and chapter 24, verse 8. Similarly, the reference to the sacrifices being, quote, "a soothing aroma to the Lord," end quote, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 5, triggers the anthropomorphic image of God smelling the fragrance, which is a close and personal sense that indicates his presence. Thus, all areas described in Leviticus, from high priestly rituals down to body emissions, and all of life is lived out in the presence of a holy God. This book features a beautiful balance of the transcendence of a holy God as well as his immanence and close presence in every aspect of life. Sin slash sacrifice. When one views the ritual nature of the book of Leviticus, one is immediately confronted with the questions of, why is there all this concern over holiness slash cleanness slash uncleanness? Why is there the listing of different sacrifices and the death of so many animals? The book of Leviticus declares that sin significantly impacts our relationship with a holy God. It is obvious in the case where God's holiness is violated, and Aaron's sons perish by divine fire, Leviticus chapter 10. It is manifest when the blasphemer of God's holy name is punished with death, Leviticus chapter 24, or when the members of the community are cut off because they have desecrated that which is holy, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 8. In Leviticus, the seriousness and deadliness of sin was symbolized in many of the sacrifices, but Leviticus also provides a solution by allowing an atonement, covering or ransom of their sin. This is clearly seen in the book's central chapter on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, where atonement, kofar, for Aaron, his house, and the whole community is made by killing a goat, placing its blood on the mercy seat, kaporet, then confessing sin over the head of the scapegoat who, in a substitutionary manner, was sent out into the realm of Azazel, or into the wilderness, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17, verses 21 through 22. This foreshadows Christ's entering into heaven's most holy place and the presence of God with his own blood, once and for all being sacrificed to take away sin and to bring salvation to many, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 through 28, and Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Jesus was the guilt offering, as Isaiah recognized, Isaiah 53, verses 10 and 6, who bore the sin of us all. He is the final sacrificial resolution of the sin problem from Genesis chapter 3. God himself indeed provided the lamb, Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. And these sacrifices in Leviticus brilliantly foreshadow and dramatize the ultimate work of redemption and the eternal restoration of humankind into God's holy presence, based on the, quote, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, end quote, John chapter 1, verse 29. Finally, the sacrificial message is applied by Paul to all believers when he admonishes Christians to, quote, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, that is your spiritual act of worship, end quote, from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Questions raised by Leviticus. Number 1. Compare and contrast the rituals of Leviticus with the ritual texts from the ancient Near East. Number 2. What kinds of intertextual relationship can be seen between Leviticus chapter 26 and Ezekiel chapter 34? Compare also Leviticus 10:10 with Exodus chapter 22, verse 26, Leviticus 18:5 with Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11. Number 3. What connections do you see between Genesis 3 and Leviticus chapters 11 through 15? Number 4. How are the blessings and curses of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 27 through 28 similar and dissimilar? Compare and contrast Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy chapter 16. Number 5. How do the cultic/ritual instructions of Leviticus manifest themselves in the cultic aspects of the Book of Psalms? Number 6. How are the Levitical priesthood and cultic rituals viewed in Hebrews chapters 8 through 10? Number 7. How do you understand the slaying of Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10? Number 8. In Leviticus 19:18, it says to love your neighbor, but in 19:19, it says not to wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. How does one tell which laws are universal and transcultural and which are only for ancient Israel? Number 9. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 10, the scapegoat is sent to Azazel. What are the different understandings of that text? And number 10, what are some conjectural reasons for the various dietary and purity laws that have been proposed? Dietary, polemic cultic, normalness view, uncleanness, death, association, etc. What are the pros and cons of each? What reasons does the text itself identify for these laws? This ends Getting Started with Leviticus by Dr. Ted Hildebrandt.